The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Wow, we've got a lot going on here, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to get to the big story, the one that everybody's been talking about. And I got to tell you, Maxine Waters, she ought to be in jail right now for what she did over the weekend. Maxine Waters should be in jail. She should have already been expelled from Congress. She should be under investigation by the Justice Department. She should face fierce prosecution for what she did, what she said over the weekend in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. But it should not be much of a surprise to any of you that Maxine Waters has done this. And those of you who were out, maybe you were cavorting about this weekend and you don't know what we're talking about, we're going to play some audio for you in just a matter of moments. Maxine Waters, the congresswoman and race agitator from California, found herself in Minnesota. And she was stirring up the crowd. She was causing all sorts of mayhem. And I want to play this audio for you, and it's a bit long, but you need to hear all of this in context. This is Maxine Waters stirring up the crowd of race agitators, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, domestic terrorists. Cut number one.
I know this. We've got to stay in the street, and we've got to demand justice.
As a black man, despite all of the efforts, I feel like nothing changes. And George Floyd is waking so many people up, yet nothing has happened, just, you know, despite the rhetoric. Like, what needs to happen that's different this year than all the years before?
We're looking for a guilty verdict. We're looking for a guilty verdict. And we're looking to see if all of the talk that took place and has been taking place after they saw what happened to George Floyd, if nothing does not happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, but we've got to fight for justice. But I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get a verdict that is say guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away.
And not just manslaughter, right? I mean...
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No, no, no. This is guilty for murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
Congresswoman, what happens if we do not get what you just told? What should the people do? What should protesters on the street do?
I didn't hear you.
What happens?
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There's no mistaking what Maxine Waters said on the violent streets of Minnesota over the weekend. Number one, she is guilty of jury tampering. She's telling the jury, if you don't convict this guy, it doesn't matter what the evidence says. If you don't convict this guy, your city is going to burn to the ground. Your homes will burn to the ground. That's what she's saying. That is a threat, a direct threat to the jury. And you better believe that every member of that jury, and keep in mind, the jury in the George Floyd trial is not sequestered. So they get to see all of this. They know what's going on out there in the community. They know what could happen. So a couple of hours after Maxine Waters told them to get more confrontational, she told the domestic terrorist, you've got to get more confrontational. What happened, ladies and gentlemen? Well, according to the news, and you can see it for yourself on ToddStarnes.com, two National Guard members were injured in a shooting. Somebody drove by and opened fire on a National Guard convoy that was patrolling a neighborhood in Minneapolis. I believe they did that as a result of what Maxine Waters told the crowd to do. I mean, this is a woman who has been advocating for violence in the streets, and the Democrats turn a blind eye every single time. The mainstream media, they turn a blind eye every single time. I'm telling you, folks, if you live in Minneapolis right now, if you live anywhere near a major city, you better go ahead and start boarding up your windows and protecting your property. Because all you know what is about to break loose in this nation. Look, this is a tough time, but you've got professional race agitators that are ready to string this guy up. By the way, this also happened over the weekend. There was a guy who was Santa Rosa, California, one of the defense witnesses providing expert testimony, a former cop in Santa Rosa, California. The guy hasn't lived there in years, but apparently the house still in his name. So you had a bunch of these domestic terrorists show up at the guy's house, thinking it was the guy's house. Somebody else lives there. In the early hours of the morning, they literally, folks, and we have the photographs on our website. You can see it for yourself. They literally doused the house in pig blood. They had buckets of pig blood, and they were throwing the blood on the guy's house, on the front of the house. Then they left a severed pig's head on the front lawn. What kind of animals do stuff like this? It's unbelievable. But this is how dangerous it is in America right now. This is how dangerous it is because of what the Democrats are doing. Now, you can say what you want to about Donald Trump. But the reality of it is, on January the 6th, Donald Trump was telling Americans, if you're going to protest, do so peacefully. I mean, we've got the audio. We know exactly what the president said. It's not a secret. We're not making this up. And yet, what do? They wanted to crucify Donald John Trump for telling people to be peaceful in their protest. Then you turn around, and by the way, it bears repeating, not a single weapon was found in the Capitol attack. Not a one. Meanwhile, you have people in Minnesota that are literally driving around shooting at National Guard troops. It's like Mogadishu down there. Unbelievable. By the way, here's how bad it is. You want to know how dangerous it is in Minneapolis, Minnesota right now? Do you realize that when paramedics are called out or the fire department is called out to, say, an automobile accident or a fire, do you know they have to have National Guard troops with them providing cover? I mean, maybe it's even worse than Mogadishu. This is the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. And yet you have nobody in leadership in the House of Representatives, aside from Kevin McCarthy, who is calling for Maxine Waters to be punished. And this is not the first time that Maxine Waters has played this game. This is not the first time that Maxine Waters has called for violence against people who support Donald Trump. Cut number three.
From that cabinet, in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd, and you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And then the following day, she was on MSTNC, and she doubled down on her threats. She said that you absolutely harass Trump supporters no matter where they are. Those words spewed from the vile lips of Maxine Waters, the same lips that uttered all sorts of horrible things directed at Congressman Jim Jordan just last week. Remember what she told him? Jim Jordan asking a very simple question. Hey, Dr. Fauci, when are we going to get our freedom back? When are we going to get our freedom back, Dr. Fauci? And what did Maxine Waters say? Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth, boy.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth, boy. Who you think you're talking to, boy? Boy, who you calling a boy, ma'am? This is who Maxine Waters is. Anyway, folks, we're going to get to all of this, including your calls. What do you think ought to happen to Maxine Waters? And why hasn't, by the way, Where's Liz Cheney on all of this? Why hasn't she come out and condemned this? Anytime Donald Trump gets a word wrong, she's out there condemning Donald Trump. Why isn't she out there condemning Maxine Waters? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. What do you think they ought to do with Maxine Waters? And what advice would you give to the residents and to the business owners in Minnesota? How should they start preparing for the coming apocalypse? And you better believe me, folks, if they acquit this guy, the city's going to burn. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
So Democrat Minnesota Governor, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is raising the alarm. She says that Minnesota is a state that it's not safe to be black in. So if you are a black person, you are not safe in Minnesota. I got to tell you, based on what I saw over the weekend, I don't think anybody's safe in Minnesota. I mean, they're going after everybody, burning down all sorts of stuff. As a matter of fact, one of those big concrete barriers they put up in front of the police station there, somebody spray painted the words "Death to America" while the police were guarding it. It's clear nobody cares what's happening in this country. And the poor police officers, they don't know what to do. They actually enforce the law. They're the ones that get hauled to jail. You know, years ago, this was, three or four books ago, I actually wrote a parody chapter about a guy who was the victim of a crime. And a lot, they actually pulled this chapter out of the book because they said, "Todd, we know this is satire, but this is ludicrous. There's no way anything like this could happen." And here's how the story went. And this was based on something that happened in my liberal neighborhood that I lived in. You know, in Brooklyn, New York, they're very woke in Brooklyn. And they, so much so that they'll actually post signs warning people not to allow the dogs to pee on the grass because it turns the grass brown. No, I'm not kidding, Grace. They actually do this. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And so they're very woke about those kinds of things. So anyway, one day there was somebody that was causing mayhem in the neighborhood, stealing things, breaking into cars and whatnot. And so they posted these signs warning people that there was a guy who was breaking into cars. And they actually provided a description of the guy, and they included the guy's race. So they said, "Hey, be careful. There's a black guy in the neighborhood." And people were actually upset about that. They said, "How dare you? We are a woke neighborhood in Brooklyn. How dare you mention the name or mention the race of the bad guy? Who do you think you are? That's profiling." And I'm hearing this conversation in a coffee shop as I was getting my coffee one Saturday. And I thought, well, of course it's profiling. The black guy is the one breaking into the cars, so of course they would say he was a black guy. If it was a white guy breaking into the cars, I would like to think they would say, "Hey, a white guy is breaking into the cars." So I wrote this parody chapter. And in this parody chapter, yours truly, your friendly neighborhood host, was a victim of a crime. I am in the satire. I was held up at gunpoint, and some guy robbed me. And as I was giving the description of the robber to the police, they stopped what they were doing, and they put me under arrest because I had mentioned the skin color of my attacker. And that was a more egregious crime than the actual crime of sticking somebody up. And they said, "Todd, it's a very funny parody chapter, but people just aren't going to believe that would happen." And they actually pulled that chapter out of the book. And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, where now the victims of the crime are, in fact, the criminals, and the people committing the crimes are, in fact, the victims. And that's what's happening here in America. That's what's happening in Minnesota right now, where people wanting to protect their homes are somehow perpetrators of racism because they have enough money to afford a house. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Bryant, Arkansas. Trey is listening to us on KARN. All right, Trey, what would you do if you were a police officer in today's society?
Quit.
Is that right? Why would you quit? Why would you throw in the towel, turn in the badge?
You know, I work with a lot of police officers and what I do, and I know a lot of police officers, and they're all really great friends, and I appreciate everything that they do for the community here and, you know, and abroad, you know, and all the police officers all across the nation. I have much appreciation for them, but it's just not worth it anymore. If I was up in Minnesota, think about this. Now they're taking away the fact that they can't use tear gas, they can't use rubber bullets, they can't use, you know, other things, other means of protection for their own selves. And now, you know, to me, it's just not worth it anymore. Why is it that I should be a police officer, even though I could probably make the same amount, if not more, cutting wood at Home Depot, and, you know, having the chance of not even going home to see my family at the end of my shift? I mean, it's a scary feeling. It's a scary thought. But that's what's going on up there. I would already turn in my badge, my gun, and everything. I'd lay it down. I'd be like, I'm sorry, it's not worth it. I understand, you know, well, we still have to protect the public. I get that. But you know what? Up there, the public is who voted it in. The public is the one that voted in these liberals.
You know what I don't see, Trey? Trey, you know what I don't see in Minnesota right now? I don't see any people marching in support of the police officers. I mean, surely there has to be a handful of conservatives in Minneapolis or Brooklyn Center who support the police officers. Where are those individuals? Right now, there's nobody.
They're scared to death. Well, because, Todd, they're scared to death. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If I was living up in Minnesota, I wouldn't go out there and protest. I'm sorry, but the fact that I'm not afraid. Don't get me wrong. I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going to go, you know, when I die. I'm going to heaven. There's no question about that, you know, because that's what I believe. But I mean, just have the chance of not, you know, seeing my family the next day. You know, I'm not going to do that. And that's probably the reason why they're not protesting right now. It's like, I'm not going to get out in this mess.
You don't want your house to burn down. You don't want your house to be burned down.
I don't want my house to be burned down. I don't want pig blood written, you know, up on my carport like they did to the former officer in California. You know, I don't want any of that. So, yeah, I stay away from that. That's what I have to do. It's just the way the world is right now. You know, and the best way I can fight it is go to the voting booth. You know, unfortunately, we had too many, you know, like you were talking about last week, the never Trumpers, the rhinos, that, you know, either decided to stay at home or they decided to vote in, you know, dictator Biden. So, you know, it's just the way the world is right now, Todd, and it's sad. But, yeah, if I was a police officer, I would probably quit. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, I love my police officers and what they do for our community. You know, my dad was a police officer, and, you know, I have so many friends that are police officers, but I just don't see, you know, why is it that I'm going to sacrifice myself and my family for people who hate me. You know?
I think that's it's a fair point, Trey. And I have suggested on this program several times that police officers in Brooklyn Center and, quite frankly, Minneapolis, they ought to just turn in the badge and go somewhere else. I mean, there's no reason for them to put their lives on the line for this. Because
the way they're being treated, I agree with you.
And their families. Right. And that would be my concern here. They're coming after the families. And again, when you look at the officer in the Dante Wright case, and Trey, thanks for the call, she's under armed guard. They have concrete barricades at the woman's house because she's already been attacked at her house. 844-747-8868. What's your advice to the police? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, so Madonna's in the news. I didn't realize she was still alive, but apparently she is. Madonna, the singer, says gun control should be a mandatory vaccine for Americans. This is coming from, you know, I guarantee you, if you looked at Dr. Fauci's playlist on his smartphone right now, it would be all Madonna. So anyway, Madonna's out there saying gun control should be a mandatory vaccine for Americans. All right, what does that look like? Do you take a bullet to the arm? Is that the vaccine? Jeez, Alou. You know, I want to go back to this Maxine Waters nonsense for just a moment here. So Maxine Waters is out there, and a lot of people are going to be very dismissive of this. And do not be surprised if the Republicans end up letting this one go. I mean, yeah, there are some folks out there saying this is an outrage. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, is introducing a resolution calling for her to be expelled. We're going to have her on the program, by the way, a little bit later on today. But don't be surprised if they let this go. For whatever reason, the Republicans don't like to poke the bear. And this is a bear that needs to be poked. We've got to start cracking down on these Democrats. This woman is literally raising an army to destroy America. That's what she did during the Trump administration. Everybody took a pass. They let her take a pass on this. But we can no longer allow that to happen. We cannot afford for this kind of rhetoric to go unchallenged. That's all I'm trying to say here. So we've got to call her out, hold her feet to the fire. Why is the Justice Department not investigating this woman right now? By the way, and it's not like she even threatened President Trump. Cut number four.
And with this kind of inspiration, I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Shut your mouth, boy. Shut your mouth. That's Maxine Waters. So what are we going to do here? Are we going to allow this woman just to continue to spew this nonsense and turn a blind eye? Because, again, just a couple of hours after she did this, some of those minions opened fire on National Guard troops. Their only job was to protect local residents so the mob didn't come and burn down their homes while people were sleeping in their beds. I'll be surprised if the Republicans stand their ground on this. I truly will. And I hope they do. I really hope they do. But we've got to denounce this kind of horrible, horrible rhetoric. Meanwhile, you got Donald Trump out there, and he's saying, hey, look, you got to be peaceful. Cut number six.
Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down anyone you want, but I think right here we're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength, and you have to be strong.
So again, you have President Trump saying, hey, this you gotta be peaceful. Maxine Waters doesn't say that. No, she says smack them around. You got to confront those people. And you know, she doesn't say white folks, but you know that's what she means. Got to get after those white folks at the grocery store with their mayonnaise and their Wonder White bread. You got to get in their faces if they're getting gasoline at the gas station. That's what she said. We're not making this up. So there you go. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So Dr. Fauci is in the news. And Dr. Fauci has now declared war on our guns. Let's take a listen.
Before I let you go, I want to ask about another epidemic in the U.S., and that is gun violence. Eight people were shot and killed in a mass shooting in Indianapolis on Thursday night. The U.S. has reported 47 mass shootings in just over a month. You've worked in public health broadly for a long time. Is gun violence in the U.S. a public health emergency?
You know, myself as a public health person, I think you can't run away from that. I mean, when you see people
getting killed. I mean, in this last month, it's just been horrifying what's happened. How can you say that's not a public health issue?
How can you say it is not a public health issue? So now Dr. Fauci is laying the groundwork to get your guns by declaring gun violence as a public health issue. Now, some of you out there might be eating your bologna sandwich and maybe drinking an RC Cola because we're all boycotting Coca-Cola products right now. And you're sitting there going, well, there he goes again. There goes Starnes. He's always with the hyperbole, that one. There's no way in the world that Dr. Fauci would take our guns. Come on, Starnes, you can do better than that. Well, you know, folks, I seem to recall about, a year and a half ago, when Dr. Fauci was starting the crackdowns and they were starting to shut everything down. And I just offered a word of caution to America. I suggested that if we were not careful, that they wouldn't stop at just shutting down our businesses. It wasn't just shutting down the Applebee's or the Olive Garden. It wasn't so much about shutting down your local grocery store. But soon they would come after the churches in America. And sure enough, those same people were criticizing me. I was really ridiculed on social media. And we really don't care about that, but I'm just trying to make the point here is that we came under attack. Well, there he goes again. That Starnes. Always with the hyperbole, that one. There's no way that Dr. Fauci would shut down church houses across America. That's nonsense. That happens in communist China. That doesn't happen in America. What's wrong with you, Starnes? And sure enough, guess what happened, ladies and gentlemen? They started shutting down church houses all over America. And all of those people who thought I was full of hooey, grade A hooey, but hooey nevertheless, they felt mighty bad. Well, I guess he was right about that, so our apologies. But he's not going to take the guns away, Starnes. What makes you think? I'm telling you, these Democrats, they're an evil bunch, and they are determined to disarm this country. You don't believe that? They're trying to disarm the police department right now. I mean, this is how bad it is. And my question to you is, are you going to stand with the police officers or are you just going to stay inside your house? Sit this one out because it's too dangerous. Look, I get it. We had Trey from Arkansas call in and I pointed out that nobody's standing up for the police in Minnesota right now. There's not a single person on the streets supporting the police. And Trey raises a good point. He says, well, you know, Todd, it's too dangerous. People don't want to have their houses burned down. They don't want pig blood smeared on their front door. Well, I get that, folks. But if we don't take a stand, if we don't take a stand in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, if we don't take a stand in Minneapolis, where do we take a stand? What happens when that does come to your neighborhood? I mean, we saw this happen in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And boy, do I have a story about Kenosha. It will curl your toenails. And we'll explain that to you after the break. But I got to tell you something. When you look at the attacks on police officers, it is absolutely shocking. But it's true. The number of cops killed in the line of duty jumped almost 100% last year. Defunding the police, stripping them of legal protections, it's all about this woke culture. And I'm telling you, it is a dangerous time for all of us.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I feel like we're like on the beach somewhere with this music. Very nice. Good to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen, on this spring day. Let's go to the phones. Eddie in Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. All right, Eddie, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Hey, God bless you, man. I'll listen to you today, bud. As far as standing shoulder to shoulder with police, there's no question in my mind. I got a brother that's a state trooper here, and if we all don't just stick together and take care of this, it's just going to, it's like taking care of a spoiled child. They're just going to keep doing it as long as they get away with it.
Eddie, can you imagine the Minneapolis City Council telling these cops, yeah, you got to protect all of us, but you can't use bullets, can't use rubber bullets, can't use tear gas. I mean, what are they supposed to do, like eat garlic and breathe on them? I don't know.
Grab a stick off the tree, I reckon.
You know what? I'd give every single one of them a cast. Give them a cast iron skillet, Eddie. Knock some of them upside their head.
Well, I'm sure my mama might have one or two.
Well, you sound like you got a good mama. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, my brother, we talk about this quite a bit, actually, and it ultimately boils down to that, you know, they don't want to lose their status in their career because they work hard for what they're doing. But if nobody's there to back them up, I wouldn't want to walk into war. You know, it's like the concept of an anthill, you know, five people against a million just don't add up.
Look, Eddie, the problem here is they have been waging a war against our nation and really law enforcement for years now. And this goes all the way back to the Obama administration when Obama talked about cops acting stupidly. I was there in the White House for that press conference, and it was just appalling to see so many reporters nodding their heads in agreement. But, Eddie, I'm telling you, if we don't get a handle on this, there will be anarchy in the streets of every major American city. And it's going to happen if they find this guy, if they acquit this guy of the charges. And that troubles me because again, I don't think the jury may very well not make the right decision here based on fear of a city burning down.
I know it, and that's, oh, my goodness. I don't have to think it like that. All I can say is they better be careful what they ask for.
They are, you know, Eddie, you're right, and thank you for the call, and thanks for those kind words. But Eddie's right. They are opening up a can, and I don't think they're going to like what's inside of this. Because law-abiding gun owners in this country are not going to allow their homes, their families, their property to be violated. Not going to happen. All right, let's go to Bill Conway, Arkansas. A lot of Arkansas folks today. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, how are you? My point is that they impeached Trump on causing a riot at the Capitol January 6th. So let's say in Wisconsin, if the verdict goes out, you had Maxine Waters right there instigating a riot. So why are they not doing impeachment processing on her if the riot happens?
Bill, honestly, because the Republicans are cowards. I'm sorry to say it, but they don't have the fight in them, and that's what Trump was trying to do. He was trying to show them you got to have some fight here. You got to be able to fight back.
I agree with you, but it's also our fault for not, you know, saying hey, there's a double standard. But you know what? If they didn't have any double standards, they would have no sin at all. You know, but it's just a hypocrisy. I wanted to.
Bill, it's a brilliant observation you have. And I, you know, let me say this. Bill, thanks for the call. Let me say this. I'm not going to name names here on this one, but it just gives you an idea of the thinking of the average Republican Party. So I'm a member over the years. I've been a part of many Republican local organizations, and I'm still on a lot of their email list. Now, I can tell you that I'm also on a lot of the Democrat list because, you know, I want to see what the other side is up to. By and large, I have noticed in my inbox, most of the emails coming from the Democrats are about fighting some issue, getting out there, getting out the vote, getting down to City Hall, staging protests. The list goes on and on and on. I will say, by and large, on the Republican side, the emails I get from Republicans are, hey, we're having a cocktail party at the country club. Come on down. Hey, we're raising money for this candidate at some big fancy restaurant. Come on over. It's all about a social club as opposed to being activated to fight a particular cause. And I am telling you, this is, I would say, over 7 or 8 different Republican Party emails I get from around the country. That is the common theme. The Democrats are fighting. The Republicans are having a cocktail party. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with having a cocktail party if you want to have a cocktail party. But the fact of the matter is, We're in a fight to save our republic. Cocktail parties can wait. We've got to jump into the fight here. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to have a cocktail party because Dr. Fauci is going to label it a public health crisis. That's what's going on in America right now. By the way, I told you about this Utah situation. So look, a lot of people around the country, they gave money to a guy named Kyle Rittenhouse. You know him, the 17-year-old shot two people and waiting to go to trial. And based on the video, the guy, it was self-defense. But we'll see how this plays out. But anyway, a paramedic in Salt Lake City gave $10 to the guy's legal defense fund. Somebody hacked into the legal defense fund and got all the names of the people who donated and published those names. Well, the ABC affiliate in Salt Lake City, they decided they were going to do a story about this because the paramedic lives in Salt Lake City. They actually sent a reporter to the guy's home like it was one of those NBC News child predator shows with the hidden cameras, acting as if the guy had committed a crime. Jason Nguyen is the reporter, and he's bragging about this on Twitter, saying that he wanted to give the guy his side of the story. What story? The guy donated $10 of his own money to a legal defense fund. Why is that a story? Why is that a crime right now? This, ladies and gentlemen, goes back to something that AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or as she went in college by the name Sandy Cortez, said that we should out every single Trump supporter. If you gave a penny to the Trump campaign, you voted for Donald Trump, your name needs to be on a blacklist, a database, so that you can never get a job in America. So now this paramedic is under an investigation by the local fire department. Why is that? This guy did nothing wrong. It's still okay in America, still legal in America to donate to anybody, even the Democrats. And I say what we ought to do is investigate everybody that works at the ABC affiliate in Salt Lake City. All right, got to take a break here. Hang tight, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to be broadcasting from our flagship radio station here in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee. And I hope you guys are having a good day. It's been a lot going on over the weekend. It's going to be a very busy week as we await jury deliberations in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the George Floyd case. And right now, armies of Maxine Waters supporters are massing in Minnesota and in large cities across America, and they are threatening to do grave violence to our cities if the verdict does not go the way they want it to go. So we're going to be following developments throughout our program today and all this week here on the program. But today is also another very special day, April 19th, because of what happened in 1775. April 19th, 1775, the fight for our freedom began on this day. This was the day of the shot heard round the world. British troops and American soldiers exchanged gunfire in the towns of Lexington and Concord, some 20 miles from Boston. The Minutemen were warned of the advancing troops thanks to Paul Revere's famous midnight ride. And by the day's end, something miraculous happened. The Redcoats had turned tail and run, and the Colonials were singing Yankee Doodle Dandy. That was still politically correct to sing that song back in the day. And in reality, on that day, the mightiest army on earth was defeated by a handful of farmers armed with muskets. And what was it? Remember the Emerson poem? It was a wonderful poem, the Concord Hymn. By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled. Here once the embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world. Or, as the woke crowd calls it these days, it was an insurrection by a bunch of privileged white militia members armed with assault weapons. Well, let's go to the Liberty University newsmaker line. Great to have with us an American patriot himself, the founder of Wall Builders, David Barton. Hey, David, how's it going today?
Hey, good, man. Good to talk to you, Todd.
You know, David, I knew I wanted to have you on the program today to talk about how important April 19th, 1775 was. But there was something that happened over, I believe, in Portland or Seattle over the weekend where the rampaging mob targeted an historical society. And the idea is they want to just erase all of our history.
Yeah, they're after that for sure. One of the things that we point out, we keep a list of all the monuments that have been destroyed and taken down, and it's all about racism and Confederacy, except you took down the leader of the Union forces to defeat Confederacy. You took down the president, who's a great emancipator. You took down all these anti-slavery founding fathers who started abolition societies. You took down all these military heroes who had absolutely nothing to do with slavery long after you. You went after World War I memorials, World War II memorials. You went after genocide memorial, the Armenians. And you go through the stuff and you say, you know, this is really just hate America. You keep telling the news it's about racism, about Confederacy. But when I look at what you've taken down, it has very little to do with what you say that the point is. And so it really is just kind of an insurrection thing. And the fact that they would go after a historical society, absolutely. We were contacted by legislators in Minnesota, and the new history standards in Minnesota, they will no longer teach the American Revolution, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, or the Holocaust. They will teach 1619 and critical race theory, and that's it. That's all you need to know from history. So we need to get rid of historical societies, otherwise that will contradict our narrative. We can't have that going on. So it really is kind of a complete cancel purge type of stuff. It's crazy.
And yet it's happening from within, which I believe is what Khrushchev, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe the Soviets predicted that would happen. The fall of America would happen from within.
Well, not just Khrushchev and the Soviets, but that goes back to founding fathers as well. They talked about that if we lose our morality, if we lose our love of truth, if we lose our virtue, that we will not be destroyed from without. There's no enemy great enough to destroy us from without, is what folks like John Quincy Adams and Daniel Webster said, George Washington. We would be destroyed from within. And that's why they so stress that you have to have religion and morality. As they said, their phrase was religion, morality, and knowledge has to be the basis of education, because if you lose your virtue, you will be destroyed from within. So it's not just our recent enemies that have said that. We have prophets, if you will, saying that 200 years ago to the American people.
David Barton from Wall Builders on our Liberty University newsmaker line today. David, you mentioned that in Minnesota, and I'm just shocked to hear this news. So the new curriculum, they will not be teaching kids about the American Revolution or the Holocaust. What do you think the reason why is?
Well, the reason why is that stands in the way of the narrative they have with 1619. And I'll bang on 1619 for a minute. They say this is when slavery got started in America. No, actually, 1526, Spanish introduced slavery into America. It wasn't 1619. 1619, British privateers took a Portuguese ship that had slaves and brought those slaves on mainland in Virginia in 1619. But slavery was illegal in Virginia in 1619. So those slaves that came aboard, 19 or 20 of them, that came on shore did not remain slaves. They became indentured servants. 7 years later, they owned land given to them by the state. They were all free. And it appears that one of those captured slaves that was freed and got land on it went to the Supreme Court of Virginia in 1653 and said, hey, I want to own this black man over here for his entire life. He started out an indentured servant, but he's incompetent, so I just want to own him. And so the Virginia court said, yes, you can own him. So the first occasion of slavery in America is not 1619, 1653, and it's when a black man sued to own another black man, Anthony Johnson. Then you got to look at the other part of the story, which is when did slavery come to the New England area? And you back up to 1641, and the Pilgrims and Puritans passed a law that forbid what they called man-stealing. and they quoted Exodus, that you can't take someone from another country and bring it to a different country, and that was a capital offense. So 5 years later is when the first slave ship arrived in New England, and when it did, the Pilgrims promptly freed the slaves, imprisoned the slave owners, completely different from what we heard the 1619 narrative. So the 1619 narrative is that America was founded on slavery. It was all about slavery, promoted slavery, and they don't even get the year right. They don't get the story right. There's not anything about what they're promoting that is historically accurate, but it is a great narrative if you want to tear a nation down, if you want to tear a nation up. And so that's why we have to get rid of history, because truth stands in the way of their narrative advancing. And so whether it be the curriculum standards or whether it be historical societies or statues that have nothing to do with racism, I mean, we'll tear down. One of the things that's really been targeted a lot is churches and statues of Jesus. And numerous statues of Jesus have come down in the protests, been beheaded. We just had one in Texas done over in a Catholic church in El Paso, beheaded that one. They beheaded the one in Miami-Dade County. They beheaded one in Southern Florida, all across Connecticut. Nobody's covering that part of the story, and these are part of the statues they're tearing down as well.
So David, just last week, you had President Biden's ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, and she actually said in a speech that white supremacy was woven into America's founding documents. It just seems to me they're setting up these Democrats, these woke progressives are setting the stage for an assault on our founding documents and somehow delegitimizing them. What do you think the end game there is?
Again, you have to be able to separate the people from their history and heritage if you want a different nation. This is what we've seen for 5,000 years, is that you have to change your history. You have to rewrite your history if you want to become a different kind of nation. And so if you want to be free from the Constitution, you can do that by packing the Supreme Court. You can do that by ignoring laws and getting people to just rubber stamp what you want. Or you can do that by getting rid of the documents themselves so you're no longer bound by them. And I would argue that a lot of political folks now are not bound by documents anyway, but there is still a pretty good respect for those documents in the minds of most Americans. And so they force their politicians to adhere to at least constitutional premises because they like the Constitution, even if they don't know what it means. But if you can contaminate that and make that radioactive, if you can make people hate it as a racist document, I hate racism, and the Declaration and the Constitution are all about preserving racism, then you have a much better chance of moving in a completely different direction. You get away from a constitutional republic, move to a progressive democracy, which becomes an elitist oligarchy for all practical purposes. Only way you can do that is to turn the people against what they think they venerate at this point, and you have to do that by just contaminating and making them be convinced that it's something that really isn't.
It seems to me as if you are painting a very dire picture here of where we are. Am I reading that right?
You are. You're reading that right, but at the same time, I'm watching. We have a network of probably 1,000 legislators. We deal with on a regular basis, and every day last week was on a call with the state legislature somewhere. There is a lot of pushback going against this. A law just passed in South Carolina requires every school in the state, including all of its universities, to teach the founding documents, to teach the Declaration, the Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance, et cetera. And every student in college has to take a course on American history and the documents. And that's notable now because of the top 74 universities in America. If you are a history major at 62 of the 74 universities, you will not get a single course in American history as a history major at university. So here you have South Carolina pushing back. There are a number of states, Oklahoma right now is in the middle of this, Arkansas, others are saying, hey, we're not going to have critical race theory taught 1619. That's not a good deal because it's not historically accurate. We want truth. We don't want agendas. And so a lot of states are really rising up to kind of protect their kids. But that does not change the fact that right now the 1619 curriculum is being used in all 50 states, including the red states, because it's a free curriculum. It's available to any teacher who wants it. You've got a lot of progressive teachers who are happy to teach this stuff at every level. So, yeah, it is a pretty serious situation. If we can get some competition in education, we can probably overcome this. But as long as you're going to have a government monopoly, you need an antitrust law against schools right now and say, hey, we need to be able to put kids in schools where they teach truth and where they respect truth. And if you're not going to do that, then that's going to be a real problem. So the other thing we're seeing is a big increase and the number of states pushing for educational choice, some type of competition, so you can have a free market choice of message out there. And if we do that, we're going
to
win.
All right, good stuff. David, we're going to have to leave it there. Wallbuilders.com, folks. I would encourage you to check out the great resources they have for you and your family as we raise up a new generation of American patriots. David, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Bless you, Todd. Appreciate all you do.
All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. We're going right to the phones. We have a line open, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, let's get to the phones, as promised. Ruth in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ruth, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you, Todd?
I'm good. You seem to be like you're in a good mood today, Ruth.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. There were 4,500 participants in a health and freedom conference here in Oklahoma. It was in Broken Arrow, which is a small, it's a city next to Tulsa. And we have a thing called City Elders, where they're taking leaders from the community and engaging them and engaging our legislature, to hear the voice of the people. So, yeah, I'm excited. I feel like, you know what, we're finally getting the troops rallied, and the days of country club Republicanism is over.
Well, I hope so, Ruth. I hope so, because we've got a country to save.
Yeah, we do, and I am hopeful, and I love David Barton. I love what he does. He is really, for such a time as this, I believe God has raised him up to teach us who we are and where we come from, and why we came from that. And we need to get back to our true identity, and not be afraid to fight for who we are. We are a great people. Perfect? No, there are no perfect people. That's why we have God. But you know what? We have such a generous heart. We've got hundreds of thousands of soldiers buried all around the world that fought for someone else's deliverance. We have offices here, over a million plus military who have died to keep us free. We have an obligation to keep our republic free. And you know, the churches, I wrote to Bill O'Reilly, back in 2000. And I said, are you seeing what kids are learning in schools? Nobody wanted to hear it. You know, we can't be like that anymore. Even if you don't agree with somebody, at least investigate it and see what's at the bottom of it, because we will never be able to relax. Evil will always come in another form.
If at all, you know, possible, Ruth, if at all possible, I would encourage moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, to explore teaching their kids at home. I think homeschooling is the way to go here. I'm not sure we're going to be able to fix what's broken with our school system. I hope we can. You folks that live in smaller towns and smaller cities, you've got a fighting chance. But the big cities, I'm sorry, I don't think it's possible. And I would be very, very alarmed at sending your child to a public school. And even the Christian schools these days, you got to pay really close attention to what's going on in those, even in those Christian schools. Everybody's going woke. Ruth, God bless you. Thank you for the call. Let's go to George in Arkansas on KARN. Hey, George, what's up?
How you doing, Todd? God bless you and what you do, bud.
Thank you.
I wanted to touch on, I believe you made a statement that the Republicans don't want to poke the bear or wake the bear. Well, I honestly believe that the actual bear is us middle class, smaller guys that know how to use firearms. And if they come to try to take them, I believe it's going to get ugly.
You know, George, what I find most disgusting about what's been happening in our culture, they're trying to make people like you and people like me, folks who are from middle class America, and making us out to be like we're white supremacist or a racist because we believe in going to church. We believe in earning a living, going out there and having personal responsibility and raising up your kids in the way they should go. And they're doing a great disservice to America when they do stuff like that.
I agree. And also, you know, it don't matter what race you are or religion or anything. Right is right. Wrong is wrong.
That's it. And you know what, George? I'm glad you brought that up. Because here in Memphis, Tennessee, we have a very large black middle class. And these are people that share the same values you and I share. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of poor blacks that share the same values. It's this commonality of values. They want to be able to let their kids go play in the local park without getting mowed down by a drive-by shooter. I mean, they want to be able to walk outside of their home and not have, you know, dirty needles littered on the sidewalk. You know, those are things we all agree with. And yet the mainstream media, they continue to divide us. They want a race war in this country. And like David Barton said, George, and I appreciate the call, but like David Barton said, this is about replacing America with something else. That's why you've got Biden and his cronies out there saying that our founding documents are tainted by racism. It's a lie. It is a lie from the pit of hell. And we've got to fight back. We've got to fight back against that narrative. Got to do it. Got to save the country. 844-747-8868. A couple of lines open now. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. So you got the lieutenant governor of Minnesota says too dangerous. All you black folks need to go live somewhere else. It's too dangerous in Minnesota. Well, I could imagine that they had the bears in Minnesota. You know, it's dangerous for everybody up there. And it's cold, very cold. But then you've got all of these other folks out there saying, well, the fact of the matter is that police officers are targeting people like Dante Wright. They're targeting people like George Floyd because they are black. So that there are people, and we had a caller on this program just about a week or so ago, and he seemed very sincere. And I asked him, I said, do you really believe in your heart of hearts that police officers are literally pulling people over simply because of the color of their skin? And the guy said, absolutely. So let's just think about that. Can you imagine for just a moment? Imagine, let's just say Todd Starnes is driving down the road, and all of a sudden, the police siren comes on, the flashing lights come on, and I'm pulled over to the side of the road. And so the police officer, he comes up alongside of me, and can you, again, this is in their mindset. Todd Starnes, white guy, all right? I get pulled over by the cops. Hello, sir. I'm with the police department. Could you roll down your window? So I roll down the window, and I'm getting ready to get my license, my registration to get to the police officer. No, sir. You do not need your license or registration. And I would probably say, really? Okay, well, how come? Well, sir, it's because you've been pulled over for driving while white. And I'm like, wait, what? What? Yes, sir, you are a Caucasian, and so we have special rules and regulations governing Caucasians during traffic stops. Is it because my taillight is broken, officer? Yes, I understand your taillight is broken, but you know what? That could happen to anybody. We're not going to charge you because you're a white guy. And I'm also, I was speeding, officer. I was going 55 and a 45. Well, that's all right. We know you were speeding, but you're a white guy, and that means you're probably in a hurry to get somewhere. So, Mr. Starnes, if you could just step out of the vehicle. I said, are you placing me under arrest? No, sir. We just want to give you a hug because we love white people. Oh, got to run. We see a black guy, and we're going to pull him over. That's what they genuinely believe is happening. I mean, can you believe that? That's what they believe is happening in America. And I can tell you, I've gotten a ticket. And you know why I've gotten a ticket? It's not because of the color of my skin. It was because I was speeding. I was breaking the law. And that happens. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern's radio program. Let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Speaking of the Constitution, America's Constitution Coach, constitutioncoach.com is the website, our good friend Rick Green. Rick, how's it going today?
Hang on, Todd. I've just been pulled over. I got to finish my hug with this police
officer. Hug a white guy. Hug a white motorist day.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Hey, it's good to be with you, bro.
You know, Rick, we were talking in a couple of segments ago with your good buddy David Barton, and there was an incident last week where Biden's UN ambassador was talking about how our founding documents were tainted, that racism was woven into the fabric of our founding documents. And I find that kind of talk to be very, very troubling, because that tells me they've got an ulterior motive here.
Yeah, no doubt. And the opposite, as David probably pointed this out, is the opposite is true. An end to racism and an end to slavery was woven in to our founding documents. They worked hard to get to the point where that could be done before the rest of the world. I mean, we led the way on this, and people act like America was drug across the finish line kicking and screaming. We were the first to end the slave trade legislatively, and we were fourth to end slavery completely out of the whole world. There are still nations that have slavery, and they act like America is the worst and the most racist, when in fact we've created an environment, created a nation where no matter the color of your skin, no matter where you come from, no matter your background, no matter your lineage, you still have great opportunities for freedom, and we see it happen every day. It's why red, white, yellow, black, and brown move here from all over the world, because it is still the greatest nation on the planet, despite all the challenges that we're facing.
That's what's always puzzled me, is how do they explain this? How do the Democrats explain so many people wanting to get into our country, either legally or illegally? I mean, they're knocking down fences to come into America.
Yeah, I'm just a country boy, Todd. My test for whether or not a nation is worth saving is real simple. Are people trying to get in? Are they trying to get out? And there's no doubt that millions still try to get into America every year. And there's something special about our nation. And for some reason, well, we know the reason. I mean, the leftists want to control people, but we have taught our children to hate their own nation. Our education system has completely turned on the nation, and we've raised up a generation, two now, that genuinely believe America is bad. And it's all based on lies. It's all based on a warped view of history. As you know, we at Wall Builders, we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. We don't shy away from the negatives and the sins of our nation. We try to learn from those. But if you don't tell the whole story, then you get a very warped view. And the whole story is, America's story is absolutely amazing. In fact, David probably mentioned this, but he and Tim, his son, have a great new book called The American Story, and it sets a lot of this straight. And it's just fact after fact after fact, you know, footnote after footnote, just telling the truth, not these professors' opinions about how they feel or how other people might have felt in situations, but actually looking at the facts. And boy, we need more of that just good old-fashioned logic right now.
Rick, one of the great things you guys do, this incredible weekend Constitution course where you're going to seminars, learning about the Constitution, but you're also learning about gun safety, and you're out on the range, getting hands-on training here. And I thought about the event that I went through as I was watching some of the coverage from over the weekend, where literally neighborhoods are being turned into war zones, and people are actually having to defend their property from the bad guys right here on American soil.
Yeah, this is real time. It's happening right now. And I don't say this at all to scare people, because I believe we're supposed to not have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But it's been the way of the world throughout history. There is evil in the world, and there are people that want to take your things. There are people that want to harm you literally just for fun. There are evil people in the world, and that's just a plain view of the depravity of man and a fallen world. And therefore, you have to be prepared to defend your family should the wolf show up at your door. And so our founders understood this. I mean, they talked about this. They talked about the fact that it's your responsibility, actually, that if you get robbed in your own home, James Wilson, signer of the Declaration and the Constitution, said if you get robbed in your own home, it's your own fault and negligence, that you have a responsibility to defend your family. And they talked about the first law of nature, that right of self-defense, and that you could not give that up to the government even if you wanted to. And so that's why they put the Second Amendment into the Constitution. That's why they talked about this responsibility for the individual. And we've let this just completely false narrative about quote-unquote guns, like the inanimate object, becomes the focus instead of the principle, the right of self-defense. Regardless of what you're using to defend yourself or what that criminal is using to try to harm you, you have a right to defend yourself. And obviously, you know, Colt is the great equalizer. And so we teach people how to carry a handgun safely and effectively.
and how to use that handgun safely and effectively. It's a great time. And, I mean, you saw it, Todd. We have, in fact, most of the people that come to our course have never touched a gun before. They've never shot a gun. And so they're beginners. A lot of them, you know, they come, they grew up on the range, they've shot quite a bit, but they still improve their skill dramatically. And the fellowship is just phenomenal. I mean, just to get to have that great time with us.
And Rick, a lot of women too. I mean, this is not an all guys thing here. There are a lot of ladies that participate in this.
Mostly women. We have more women come than men. In fact, a lot of the wives are dragging the husbands along. So it is a great time of fellowship. And I think the difference is the ladies tend to be less arrogant as us guys. You know, we guys were like, I don't need to learn how to do that. I already know how to do that. When in fact we don't. That was me. I was thinking I would step up, and I realized when I went through my first training, wow, I was not ready. I needed the training really bad, where the ladies are saying, hey, I don't have any of this. I want it. But everybody that comes enjoys it. They leave with fantastic skills. And you mentioned the Constitution part, so important right now. I mean, with the court packing and all the things that are happening, we need to know what the Constitution actually says, and we need to know what we as citizens can do about it, not just holding our elected officials accountable, but what is our job under the Constitution. So it really is a magical combination of the intellectual ammunition of knowing your rights and knowing how to stand up for them and defend them and work the process of elections and legislative sessions and all those things, but then also having that physical training so that, God forbid, I hope that none of the people that go through our course end up in this situation, but there's 1.2 million violent crimes a year in America. It's getting worse because we're letting the criminals out and we're not prosecuting them. We're prosecuting pastors instead. It's crazy out there. And so take precautions. I love the verse in the Bible that says a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. A simpleton or a fool walks blindly on and suffers the consequence.
And Rick, real quick here. Now, and this is also designed for young people, for children as well, kids.
Oh, it's great. Families come together. You got to be 11. So anybody older than 10 can be on the range with their family. And I'm telling you, it's a Richard Henry Lee thing. He's the guy that made the motion for independence back in the Continental Congress, and he said that we should teach people while young how to use firearms, and that's what we do. And it's just fun. I mean, and that's the best way to keep accidents from happening. You need to teach kids while they're young so they don't have this fascination with it, and then they run off and try to get the firearm when you're not around. That's when accidents happen. So we teach people how to do this the right way and keep those accidents from happening. And it's just a wonderful family fellowship time. The training is fun. And it's a COVID fascism free area. If you want to wear a mask. You don't have to. Most people don't. We just have a great time. We talk about the science behind everything that's going on, and we talk about how to restore our rights.
Love it. Rick, we're going to have to leave it there. AConstitutionCoach.com. You got to check it out today. I am a huge supporter of this, and they have my full endorsement of the great work they are doing. Rick, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Todd, you're a patriot, brother. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, here on the Todd Starnes radio program, we have been on dog watch for, I don't know, the past year. Grace, any update on when you're getting the Dalmatian?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting her this weekend.
Oh, nice. So we're getting, Grace Baker getting the big dog this weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to post photographs, and so you'll be able to see images of Grace's new dog, as well as the name of the dog. She's saying, no, they have not settled yet on a name. Still working on the name, so we'll get that. So this weekend, I have to tell you guys a story. I don't know what overcame me, but I was on Saturdays, I like to take a nap in the afternoon. And so the nap ran a little long. And so I ended up staying up very late on Saturday, and I've only done this once before, but I was seeing a lot of chatter on social media about the big fight. They had a big pay-per-view fight, Jake Paul, the YouTube guy, going up against Ben Askren. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch the boxing match. I love boxing, and it was like $50. I thought, geez, Lou, that's a lot of money. So I, and the fight was supposed to start at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So this is around 10:45, and I, based on the social media chatter, I had not missed the fight yet. So I thought, okay, I'll go ahead. I'll spend $50 and watch a good fight. So I'm watching, and at first I thought I had purchased the wrong pay-per-view because it was a bunch of guys who were just horrible rappers. They were like B-level or D-level rappers, and I mean, it was filthy. I mean, I've never heard lyrics this horrifying. I mean, that was bad stuff. So anyway, it goes on and on and on, and then finally, they get to a point where I realize, oh, wow, this is all part of the lineup here. So they had they had two other matches that were pretty good. And then Snoop Dogg was one of the ringside announcers, and he was rolling his joint during the boxing match. And then Justin Bieber shows up. And so he's singing a song. And I'm like, what is this? Is this like a boxing match or is this like a music concert? So anyway, this was like, again, the boxing match was supposed to start at 9 o'clock. By around, I don't know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, we finally get to the main event. And Jake Paul knocks the guy out in the first, like, I don't know, minute of the match. And that was it. Got to tell you, that's the last time I'm spending $50 for a pay-per-view. I mean, if you're going to have boxing, that's great. Let's have boxing. There wasn't even an audience there. I mean, what? Come on. So anyway, that's it for me. I learned my lesson. Or the next time, I should have just invited Grace and Mr. Grace over, Mr. Call Screener, and we could have brought Kyle, the board op, over, and y'all could have chipped in, you know, $10 a piece, and I could have made some money off of it. But $50, mm-mm-mm. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. James in Arkansas, K-A-R-N. Hey, James, what's up?
Not much. Just driving to Arkansas, making my deliveries.
Good stuff. What's on your mind today, James?
Well, I just found your station about an hour ago.
Well, we're glad you found us.
So I was listening to them people complaining about the violence and stuff in Minnesota and all that. So my suggestion was we take all the Democrats, stick them all to the north, take all the Republicans that want to work for a living, stick them to the south, and just build Trump's wall straight through the middle of this country.
So basically you want to extend the Mason-Dixon line all the way over from the East Coast to the West Coast, everybody above the line, that's Yankee territory, and then free America is below the Mason-Dixon line. I like that idea. James, thanks for the call. I like the way James is thinking, and welcome to the program. Always great to have new listeners. By the way, we're adding a brand new station in Phoenix, Arizona. They're coming on board in about a week or so. Also, you folks in Hendersonville, North Carolina, you better get ready because you're going to be joining the Todd Stearns Radio Show family in the next week or so as well. And it's always good. We're growing by leaps and bounds. Of course, we've added KROF in Lafayette, Louisiana, WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia, and always love to hear from those folks as well. As a matter of fact, here is our number as we go to break, 844-747-8868. And the question for our Georgia listeners, what do you think about Marjorie Taylor Greene? What do you think about the job she's doing for you? 844-747-8868. Congresswoman Greene coming up after the news break. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us.
wherever you might be across this great country of ours, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And we've got a great hour lined up for you. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be here in just a little while. And she has made the call to expel Maxine Waters from the House of Representatives. We'll see how far that goes and whether or not other Republicans will join the call for Maxine Waters to be punished. But for whatever reason, the Republicans do not want to poke the bear. They would rather cower in fear because the Republican Party, by and large, has still yet to learn how to fight. Now, the members of the House Freedom Caucus, they know how to fight. Those guys and gals, they know how to fight. But the average Republican still is more interested in playing nice with the other side of the aisle as opposed to standing up for what is right for America. And we're going to be talking about that with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene in just a moment. And I'm curious, you know, she catches a lot of flack from around the country. And by and large, the mainstream media, they have portrayed North Georgia, the congressional district that she represents, as, I don't know, KKK land. I mean, if you believe the reporting from CNN and MSDNC, North Georgia, everybody walks around, you know, wearing white bed sheets and pointy hats, and they burn crosses on the weekend. It's unbelievable. By the way, they do not. Everyone there also wears shoes. Just want to throw that out there. And by and large, people there do not wear overalls without a T-shirt on. I just want to dispel the narrative that is out there. It's outrageous, but it's true that this is what they believe about us. So I'm curious, you folks that live in Georgia, maybe you don't live in her congressional district, but I'm curious what you think about Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, they're saying she's some sort of a right-wing nut job. I mean, horrible things about this woman. But it seems to me that she is everything this country is about. She is a devoted wife and mother. She is a very successful businesswoman. And she knows not only how to cook, but she knows how to shoot a gun. Sounds to me that's a woman that every person in America, every guy in America should aspire to marry. What was it Grandmother Starnes said back in the day? If the girl can handle a firearm and a cast iron skillet, you got to marry that girl. That's, you know, good advice. Good advice. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So I want to play some audio for you. This happened over the weekend. Maxine Waters decided to go to Minnesota, and she decided to agitate the crowd, just like Barack Hussein Obama. This one, she's a community organizer. Shut your mouth.
We've got to stay in the street, and we've got to demand justice.
As a black man, despite all of the efforts, I feel like nothing changes. And George Floyd is waking so many people up. Yet nothing has happened, despite the rhetoric. Like, what needs to happen that's different this year than all the years before?
We're looking for a guilty verdict. We're looking for a guilty verdict, and we're looking to see if all of the talk that took place and has been taking place after they saw what happened to George Floyd, if nothing does not happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, but we've got to fight for justice. But I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get a verdict that is say guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away.
And not just manslaughter, right? I mean...
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No, no, no. This is guilty. For murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
Ms. Congresswoman, what happens if we do not get what you just told? What should the people do? What should protesters on the street do?
I didn't hear you.
What happens?
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is Maxine Waters, in her own words, threatening the jury and threatening the city of Brooklyn Center and Minneapolis. If the jury doesn't declare this man guilty, doesn't matter if he is or is not, but if you don't declare him guilty, we're going to burn down your city. That's the threat
from Maxine Waters. Just a couple of hours after she made those comments, a group of thugs opened fire on National Guard troops that were patrolling a neighborhood in Minneapolis. Two members of the National Guard were injured by flying glass. Fortunately, no one was shot, by the grace of God. And I blame Maxine Waters for that attack. I blame her. Any building that burns in Minnesota this day forward, I blame Maxine Waters. By the way, one of the local reporters was very upset because the people of Minneapolis were already boarding up their businesses. You know why they were boarding up their businesses, you morons? Because they're afraid that people are going to make good on Maxine Waters' threat. That's why. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868, Georgia. Adrian listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Adrian. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. Two quick comments on Marjorie Taylor Greene. Number one, she is the female Donald Trump. Number two, I wish she were my congresswoman. That's it.
Is that – well, now, Adrian, I want to ask you a follow-up question here. Why is it that you would want her as your congressperson?
Because she fights. She's not afraid. And I have a Democrat – not my district has a Democrat in the House of Representatives, and that speaks for itself. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's brave. It's like the things you said. She's conservative. True conservative, as near as I can tell. She speaks her mind. She doesn't always get it right, but nobody does. You know, maybe sometimes, you know, if you're a politician, you have to speak for a living. If you speak for a living a lot, you're going to make gaffes now and then. Everybody does it. But I try to listen to the heart of her message and what she's really about, and I like what I see.
Now, you see, Adrian, I think this is a fair assessment of her, and you're right. We're all going to screw up. We're all going to say things we either didn't mean or we wish we could have phrased in a different way. But the reality is she's not out there endorsing people like Louis Farrakhan, for goodness sakes. She's not out there, you know, doing financial agreements with the Chinese. So I'm with you.
Yep.
I think she is a great lady. She's a freshman in Congress. And, you know, as a freshman in Congress, you're going to make mistakes. They're going to have missteps. But what gets me is that her own party, there were people in her own party who would not extend grace to her. And that really bothers me. And it says a lot about still this malaise that has enveloped some of the Republican leadership. Adrian, yep. Appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. We really appreciate that and love all of our listeners in North Georgia. Let's go to Bruce in Hot Springs, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hey, Bruce, you're on the air.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Today is one of my favorite days of the year. Today's my birthday.
Well, Bruce, happy birthday. This is exciting news, and you share your birthday with the shot heard around the world.
Right. And so what I did is I went out and bought about $150 worth of Subway sub, and I brought it to D Barracks of the State Troopers, which is the closest one to me, and I shared lunch with them on my birthday, them for what they did. And they wish me happy.
Oh, Bruce, what a great thing you did there. And I have to imagine they welcomed you with open arms and appetites.
It was amazing. I had my service dog with me, and they were playing with her. And what I would like to urge everybody out there in the world to do, find a police station near you. It doesn't matter. If you believe in this, do it. Find a police station near you. And once in a while, buy them lunch and just tell them how much you care about them. And that's what I did. I spent today, they thanked me so much. I mean, I've never had so many people shake my hand at one time. They appreciated me. They appreciated what I did. I told them I'm disgusted with what I'm seeing with other people who are doing horrible things to police. It just absolutely disgusts me. And I wanted to thank them, and I want to share my birthday lunch with them. And I showed up with three trays of Subway, And we sat down. I heard stories. They told me about, you know, in Arkansas, you know, they do hunting. And I told them about my brother. He's a place that he hunts. They want his address. They want to go visit him. And they said, come back anytime. And, you know, you can say thank you to a police officer or a fireman. But these are people who put their lives on the line for us every single day. I can't urge people enough to do just a little bit more. And yep. You can't believe one guy came in. One guy came in today. He said he was having a bad day. He got yelled at by three people. You know, it was a bad day for him. And he walked in. He found out it was my birthday, and that I bought lunch. And he almost teared up.
Well, you
he
see,
said,
Chuck,
you know, you just made my day.
Chuck, you are a great American patriot, and I think this is a terrific thing you did. And I know the state troopers over there were just blessed by your generosity, and of all times on your birthday. And it's a great idea, folks. And Chuck, don't go anywhere. You know what, Grace? Let's find something from the prize closet, and let's hook Chuck up with some good swag, if we can. So, Chuck, don't go anywhere. We're going to put you on hold. And I'm sorry, Bruce, rather. I can't read very well today. We're going to put Bruce on hold, and it's a good thing that that Bruce has done. Folks, we ought to pick up that mantle, and we ought to take up that challenge. And maybe there is a police department, maybe there's a state trooper barracks in your neighborhood. Why don't you swing over and bring them some lunch? It doesn't have to be anything. It doesn't have to be an 8-course meal, but you bring them a Subway sandwich, or like a Bruce did, or you know, or get them some Chick-fil-A or whatnot. Good for you. Good for you, Bruce. Well done. I felt bad. I called the guy Chuck, but it's Bruce. So, Bruce, thank you. You are a great American, and we've got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. We have a couple of lines open. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. And by the way, if you haven't already done so, you got to get yourself a pre-ordered copy of my new book coming out in June. It's called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And I had a lot of fun writing this book, the first non-political book I've written. And you're going to really love this. We have some great devotional stories and also some incredible recipes, great Southern recipes. And some of them, by the way, all of them were submitted by listeners of the show. And apparently we have a good many Episcopalians and Methodists that listen to us, because I was looking through a couple of those recipes and they got some booze. So I know those aren't the Baptists. So I'm just saying, I'm not judging. I'm just saying we've got a diverse group of recipes. So we'll leave it there. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jonesboro, Arkansas. Chuck listening to us. There's Chuck. Chuck, how's it going?
All right, Brother Todd. Hey, I'm a trucker, and I tell all police officers, man, I thank y'all for your service. Thank you for what you do. I mean, I've been stopped by DOT officers at way stations on side roads, and I mean, you give them 100% cooperation, and I always thank them, you know, for y'all being out here. If it wasn't, do you have any idea what it would be like? See?
Oh, look, and, Chuck, just, you're absolutely you're right about that, my friend. And I guarantee you there may be some times that you do get pulled over, and it's all about attitude. You know, if you cop an attitude with the cop, you're probably going to get a ticket. But if you're nice and polite and you realize, hey, yeah, you know what, I screwed up, officer, I'm really sorry about that. You know, sometimes they may even just say, hey, I'm going to give you a warning this go around.
Yeah. Last Friday, I was at a truck stop, and there was a deputy sheriff ahead of me. And he was making a purchase. I said, hey, man, thank you for what y'all do. You know, say, hey, hey, I got this for you. And I really appreciate that, you know. And I know one night my wife and I was eating at a restaurant, and there was an officer standing over, eating by himself.
And I told the little waitress, I said, hey, give me his ticket. And I said, don't tell him. Well, she did it anyway. And he came over and we were checking out. He said, man, I thank y'all for doing that, you know. Well, thank you, you know, for protecting us and keeping us safe, you know. And they're part of the five P's that we are to pray for, all police officers, president, persecuted Christians around the world, the peace of Jerusalem, and all of our pastors.
I like that. And Chuck, so those are the five P's.
Yes, sir.
What a great idea, and what a great thing you're doing. Now, Chuck, you said you're a truck driver. Are you a long haul guy, or is it pretty regional for you?
No, I'm regional. I'm in every night.
All right. Oh, that's good stuff. It's always good to be in your own bed at nighttime. So good for you.
Yes, sir.
Chuck,
I paid my dues doing the other part.
I bet you did. And we have a lot of truck drivers that listen to the show, and I have great respect for what you guys do out there. It is a job, and you guys do a great job of it. So, Chuck, God bless you, and thanks for listening to the show. I want you to give us a holler back one of these days. Will you do that?
Oh, I've got you on speed dial.
Oh, all right. Good stuff. Grace is ready for you, Chuck. All right. God bless you, brother, and thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for having the back of our police officers out there. Good man right there, folks.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
sir. This is stuff we need to be doing. And, again, this is a doing show. It's not just talking about the problems. It's figuring out a way to fix the problems. And those of us who, you know, those of us who can get out there and maybe buy somebody a meal or just go and say thank you for what you're doing if you see them at the 7-Eleven. All right. You know what? We're going to hold tight on the calls because we're coming up on a bottom of the hour news break here. We have a couple of lines open. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be here. We expect her to make some news during this interview. So if you're on hold, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. Also, a bizarre story about Demi Lovato and yogurt. And Grace is adamant that I talk about this story, so we're going to get to that. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Maybe you have a question for Congresswoman Greene. We will take those as well. So give us a call. In the meantime, our website, toddstarns.com, the live show blog is up and running. You say, Todd, what is that? Well, it's very simple. We post links to all of the stories we talk about. Also, if you want information on any of the guests we have, you can find that information on the live show blog as well. That is free for you, and it's a great service over at our website, toddstarns.com. All right, folks, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Marjorie Taylor Greene says that Maxine Waters needs to be expelled from Congress. What say you? This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Oh, this is cringeworthy. Not the bumper music. What we're about to play for you. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So Kamala Harris, the vice president, there's just something off about her. I can't put my finger on it just yet, but I don't know if maybe she's taking a hit off the marijuana. I guess it could be. I don't know. I don't want to speculate here. But something is just off-putting with her. You know, she laughs at inappropriate times, and she's just kind of like, oh, man, I'm like the vice president. Woo, cool. It's weird, right? So anyway, we've got some fresh audio. This just happened. This is Kamala Harris trying to crack a joke. Let's listen.
Because there's an interesting fact, in case you didn't know. Hard hats are actually unisex. Everybody's laughing.
Yeah, nobody's laughing. No, what? So anyway, there you go. I got to tell you, the problem I have here is this woman is just like, she is one literal heartbeat away from the presidency. this is Kamala Harris. I mean, do you really want that woman with her finger on the button? But this is the best the Democrats have. The woman who could not even win her own state during the Democrat primary. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. It's always an honor to have Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene with us. Congresswoman, hope you're doing well.
Hey, hi, Todd. I'm doing great. I just got back in D.C. and ready to get to work this week.
So you were one of the first, if not the first, Republican to understand the significance of what Maxine Waters said and did over the weekend. First, I want to get your reaction to the comment she made. Then we're going to talk about what you've done to in response to that.
Well, absolutely. I'm the first to fully understand what's happening. Democrats kicked me off of my committees along with 11 of my very weak and spineless Republican colleagues, voted me off of committees for doing absolutely nothing wrong. They can't even file an ethics charge against me as a member of Congress. They were just upset about some comments on social media in the past several years ago that I apologized for. They kicked me off my committees, and then Jimmy Gomez from California introduces a resolution to expel me, again, for no reason. They just don't like me. And you can't treat members of Congress that way when they've done nothing wrong. But here we have Representative Maxine Waters, a 16-term congresswoman who definitely should know better, but she has a history of inciting violence and inciting people into riots. And she heads into Minnesota late at night after curfew, goes to the Brooklyn Center in Minnesota, the state she does not live in, crosses state lines, and is telling people to get more confrontational, to stay in the streets, to break curfew, and threatening the jury of the Derek Chauvin case that we're seeing come to a close today. So, yeah, Maxine Waters has definitely acted and behaved unruly, as if she's the commander-in-chief of the Antifa BLM domestic terrorist army that has wreaked havoc and violence and riots for the past year. And here she is telling them to get more confrontational. This is a big problem. And so this is a woman that definitely deserves to be expelled. She is a danger to society. And I'm very happy to introduce a resolution to expel Representative Maxine Waters from Congress.
Well, not only that, just a couple of hours after she made those comments, you had a National Guard convoy that was targeted by drive-by shooters. Two members of the Minnesota National Guard were injured in that attack. And again, this is after Maxine Waters said, get more confrontational.
That's right. And they did. And she sent her henchmen. She sent her BLM domestic terrorists out there. And so they're shooting at actual Minnesota National Guardsmen. And thank God no one was killed. And so, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. She's told them to get more confrontational. And I don't know what's more confrontational than shooting at National Guardsmen. I don't know what's more confrontational than killing people, innocent people this year, like David Dorn. I don't know what's more confrontational than burning down cities and looting and destroying businesses and terrorizing people in the streets. I don't know what Maxine Waters wants her thugs and criminals to do, but she told them to get more confrontational. And so it sounds like she's trying to start a war.
It's a disturbing thing, and especially with the amount and the level of violence we have seen, not just there, but we've seen it in other major cities, Minneapolis, Portland, Seattle, you name it, even in Washington, D.C., where they went after the beautiful statue of Christopher Columbus right outside of Union Station and tried to set it on fire.
That's right. Exactly. They're out of control. But yet here we have the FBI targeting people that were at the Capitol on January 6th, and none of us agree with what happened at the Capitol. That they're acting as if that's the only riot that has ever occurred. They're completely ignoring everything that's happened all year long in cities all over America and that still continue today. And then you have Maxine Waters, a member of Congress, who's been in here probably longer than I've been alive, practically. And she's out there telling them, encouraging, inciting violence, stirring up the crowd so they get more confrontational, which are her words. And so she's completely out of control. She needs to be expelled, and we've got to hang on to this. And America wants this to happen. Republicans all over the country are sick and tired of Republicans in Congress not standing up and defending them. You've got regular Republicans, you know, the average American is out there practically getting kicked in the teeth by the Democrats and by everything that's happening. But yet we've got to stand up for people in Congress. And that's exactly what I'm doing right here. And this is why I'm making this move on Maxine Waters, because her behavior is atrocious. It's out of control. Her words are dangerous, and she's going to get people killed.
She is, and that's why I'm befuddled here as to why we are not hearing more condemnation coming out of the Republicans. I mean, they wanted to impeach Donald Trump for calling for a peaceful protest on January the 6th. Meanwhile, you have Maxine Waters out there calling for actual violence in the streets, and we should have the entire Republican delegation on Capitol Hill condemning this.
Yes, we should. Let me tell you what my comms director just handed me. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has said that Maxine Waters should not apologize for saying protesters should get more confrontational if Chauvin is acquitted. She said, no, she doesn't. Absolutely not. She said when she was asked about her comments about Maxine Waters inciting violence. Here we have the Speaker of the House saying that Maxine Waters should not apologize. I mean, look at this. This is out of control. We have the Speaker of the House defending Maxine Waters, who caused Minnesota National Guardsmen to be shot at, who is inciting riots, telling them to do more, which I don't know what more can possibly happen other than starting a full-scale war. Who is Nancy Pelosi? Who is Maxine Waters? I mean, these are literally turning into enemies of innocent Americans, and they're in Congress. They're in control of our country. And so, Todd, we have a serious problem. This is out of control. You've got Nancy Pelosi defending Eric Swalwell, who had a relationship with a Chinese spy. Now you have Nancy Pelosi defending Maxine Waters, saying she should not apologize for saying protesters should get more confrontational.
Well,
I think we seriously. Every American should be concerned about this.
Well, it gets worse than that, Congresswoman. Just a few seconds ago, we had the White House refusing to condemn. Let's play some audio from the White House press briefing.
And you talked about how the White House is preparing for whatever that verdict is. Congresswoman Maxine Waters said over the weekend that they need to. We've got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business. Does the president agree with what she said about getting more confrontational?
Well, I can speak to the president, too. He has been very clear that he recognizes the issue of police violence against people of color, communities of color, is one of great anguish, and it's exhausting and quite emotional at times. As you know, he met with the Floyd family last year and has been closely following the trial, as we've been talking about, and is committed to undoing this long-standing systemic problem. His view is also that exercising First Amendment rights and protesting injustice is the most American thing that anyone can do. But as he also always says, protests must be peaceful. That's what he continues to call for and what he continues to believe is the right way to approach responding.
So in other words, Congresswoman, the White House is not condemning Maxine Waters.
Well, you want to know what's wrong with Joe Biden? He spent the last year in a basement, and he has no clue what's happened out here in the streets of America, where it has been no peaceful protest. These BLM and Antifa riots have been nothing, nowhere near peaceful. As a matter of fact, people have been killed. So I want to know, has he gone and met with the families of the people that have been murdered in these Antifa BLM riots? And will he be out there standing up and stopping these violent riots after Maxine Waters has told everyone to get more confrontational, and now Nancy Pelosi has rubber stamped it and said she has nothing to apologize for? This Democrat-controlled government is actually, they are hiding the truth. They are lying about what's happening in the streets of America and what BLM and Antifa is actually doing, and they are doing nothing about it to protect innocent Americans. These people are completely out of control, and they are not serving our country.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Marjorie, always appreciate you coming on the program, and thanks for fighting the good fight. And let's just hope more Republicans join your cause.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell everybody, take to the phone. Call up your representative and tell them to co-sponsor my resolution to expel Maxine Waters, because we need it to happen. And it's, the American people want it. I've seen so much support. People have been calling us all over social media. They're posting about it. They want this to happen. So Republicans in Congress need to step up and get involved. We got to stand up for the American people, because this country is for the people. It's people
well said.
Over politicians.
All
Thank
right.
You, Todd.
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from the great state of Georgia. And I don't know about you, but we need more people like her up on Capitol Hill. And she's right. You need to be calling your elected leaders on Capitol Hill and let them know where you stand on this. All right, real quick, before we have to run to a break, I want to get to Kerry. He's in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Kerry, I understand you have a question about the judge and the jury.
Yes. Has the judge gotten word that the jury has heard her comment? I mean, if that judge gets told the word that the jury has gotten those comments, that the defense shouldn't even have to make the motion for a mistrial. It should automatically be granted. And no, the prosecution has not proven beyond reasonable doubt. Derek Chauvin should be found not guilty.
Yeah, Kerry, I think the short answer is I don't see how they could not have heard about it. The jury has not been sequestered, so if they're
That was my understanding, too. So, you know, but even then, they're not supposed to be watching TV or the news or anything like that. But, you know, anything could happen. They could get in, even by accident, you know.
It is a very disturbing situation here, and let's just hope that Derek Chauvin's attorneys, and Kerry, thanks for the call. Let's hope those attorneys do that. And, I mean, look, it's very clear that Maxine Waters was trying to influence the jury of the trial. All right, got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Grace has, like, threatened to not talk to me if I don't get to this Demi Lovato story.
I think you're being a little dramatic, Todd.
I'm not being dramatic.
I mean, that sometimes.
You have been passionate about this.
Well, no, I just can't believe it. It's one of those ones I'm genuinely perplexed at.
I believe the words were, who cares about Maxine Waters? I want to talk about Demi Lovato.
Well, everybody's talking about Maxine Waters, but nobody's talking about this.
All right. Gird your loins, America. That's a biblical thing for you folks in Nevada, so don't get too freaky. Pop star Demi Lovato took aim at a small frozen yogurt shop. Jeez, Lou, what did they do at the yogurt shop, pray tell? Well, it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, brace yourself, the yogurt shop offered sugar-free options. Wait, that's it?
Horror.
That's it?
Yep.
So Lovato attacked the Big Chill frozen yogurt shop. That's big with two G's.
Uh-oh, so it's super cool.
That's the millennial spelling.
Yes.
The Big Chill frozen yogurt shop in Los Angeles, she accused them of being diet vultures.
Diet vulture.
The store is known for its wide variety of low-fat, sugar-free frozen yogurts and treats.
I mean, what's wrong with trying to have a healthy dessert?
Lovato claims she was triggered during her walk past the sugar-free cookies. Am I being pranked here?
Don't worry. This is not from the Babylon Bee.
You see, I thought she was going to say that the yogurt shop was racist because they have yogurt. And, you know, because.
And maybe vanilla yogurt.
Because sugar, you know, what happens with sugar? You got the diabetes. And what demographic in America has the most problem with diabetes?
Oh, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, that's where I thought we were going with this.
Oh, no, it's much worse.
So the yogurt shop has responded, and that is the worst possible thing to do in a situation like this.
Don't validate them in any way.
They say they are not diet vultures.
Well, duh.
They're just serving the needs of customers who prefer sugar-free alternatives. They have a spokesperson.
Oh, for yogurt?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I bet that's a fun job.
They say, we cater to all of our customers' needs for the past 36 years. We are sorry you found this offensive. So Lovato was not satisfied with this.
Of course she wasn't.
And she says, so she's really upset. Apparently, she says, your service was terrible. So rude. Well, yeah. I mean, you called them vultures for crying out loud. The whole experience was just triggering and awful.
Triggering.
Can I just say
something?
What is
triggering about the sprinkles?
Remind me, I'm not a big fan of the sprinkles, but I love the M&Ms.
Oh.
And I'm not a big fan of the yogurt anyway. You know why? Because when it melts, it's not like creamy. It's like water. And it reminds me of eating sour cream.
I like a good old, you know, I like frozen yogurt, but I like ice cream better.
Remind me tomorrow, Grace. We've got to talk about the Disney Channel. There is a brand new show on, and I thought it was a great family-friendly basketball show.
Oh, no.
But it turns out this one episode, one 45-minute episode, explains everything that's wrong with America right now. It's amazing.
I used to love Disney Channel.
But I will say this. I don't want to give the whole story away, but one of the players, there's a coach, NCAA coach, who loses his job because he threw a chair, and then the only job he can get is at a high school at a girl's private high school.
Oh.
And the first day he blows the whistle, and one of the girls says, you can't blow your whistle because that triggers me.
Well, is this meant as a joke or is it
no,
serious?
No. It is serious as all get out.
Oh, no.
And I thought, holy crapola. So we're gonna talk. We got to talk about that tomorrow. Anyway, Demi Lovato reminds me of that. I got triggered. Yogurt triggers me.
Jeez, Louise, just go down the street to Baskin Robinson. Mm-hmm.
Get some Blue Bell, darling. Blue Bell
or Ben and Jerry's.
There
they're
you
woke.
Go. Oh, they're real woke. All right, folks. Been a fun day around here. We're gonna do it all over again tomorrow. ToddStarns.com is our website. Get out there. Have a good day, America.